How are we this morning? Just when I thought spring was here. We get this. I thought we were making our way to summer. And now it's like it's cold out. So bundle up so you don't catch a cold. Okay, speaking of colds, you know, we suffer from a lot of different ailments in this life. And there always seems to be someone out there who has the cure for everything. Every ailment you got, somebody out there is there to make some money and give you the cure. So I did some research and I came across some of these ads that I would like to share with you about some of the ailments that you suffer from. I suffer from these as well. For example, this ad says this: if you suffer from chronic phone loss disorder, I'm serious. I will just take my phone and I will set it down for 2 seconds and it's gone. That's me. But it says, if you suffer from chronic phone loss disorder, then you should try some Find-It-All tablets. They claim it's clinically proven to reduce panic by up to 73%. Folks, that's a good percentage. Find-It-All tablets. You should try those. Okay, or if you suffer, this one says, if you suffer from selective hearing fatigue, my wife says I suffer from that, selective hearing fatigue, then maybe you should try some Listen-X. The ad says it's for adults who can hear a chip bag open from 3 rooms away, but not their name. That is so me. Or maybe you suffer... Oh, this is a good one. Or maybe you suffer from resting grump face syndrome. The ad asks, do people keep asking if you're okay when you're just existing? It's how I always look. If that's you, then ask your doctor if Smilazine XL is right for your face. Or what about sudden blanket coldness syndrome? The ad says millions suffer in silence every night. If that's you, then try our Warmify patches, because 1 foot out of the blanket shouldn't be a survival event. My wife, she's always cold at night. Try that. Okay, last one. If you experience reply all regret syndrome, then try some Emailazine. The ad says for those moments when one wrong click changes your career. Oh, I didn't mean for that to go out to everybody. Oh, shoot. No, those are some funny diseases that we can have fun with. But imagine this. If you actually did have the cure for every disease, every illness imaginable. I mean, no more cancer, you know, no more illness, no more death. You got one pill, okay? It's free, no side effects. It's for everyone. What if you have that? It's guaranteed to work. I bet naturally you'd probably be super pumped, super excited. But what if you go out and you start telling people, hey, I've got the cure, and you start getting some unexpected responses? Like, that's cool, man, but you know what? I'm going to try some vitamins. Or you know what? Hey, you know what? I'm not really that bad off. You know, I'll wait till I get worse and maybe I'll try your stuff. Or you know what? Hey, I've got some essential oils I'll slather on. I'm good, man. You know, you might get those responses and you'd probably be thinking, what the heck, dude? I've got the cure. I have got the cure to heal your ailment. Why are we negotiating this? You know, yet, maybe you're the one that has a cure and you might start getting tired of, you know, just the polite nod or maybe just I'm good, man. Or maybe just a change of subject. Yeah, well, yeah, you got the cure. Well, how about them Angels? How about that Dodger game the other night? You know, the problem can come, you know, for those who have the cure, if they keep telling people and they keep getting this rejection over and over, the problem is not necessarily that people are rejecting the cure. The problem comes is when people start hesitating to share, because why? Nobody wants the cure. And so they start keeping silent about it. and not sharing this cure. It can happen. You know, when it comes to evangelism, sometimes we can wrestle with that tension. God has provided salvation. He's provided salvation completely, freely, fully. Yet, you know, let's just be honest, people respond with resistance. Sometimes they give excuses, or sometimes it's just flat out rejection, and believers are left wondering, well, why do I bother even sharing? Why do I keep going through the same thing over and over and over again? It just happens. Yet God calls us to share the good news, even in those hard places. So turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 30. We're going to start there this morning. Romans chapter 9, verse 30, where we will see Paul's heart for some hardened people. In fact, it's his own people, the Jews. We are in a section here, chapters 9 through chapter 11, where Paul is vindicating God's righteousness. His righteousness is good. God's righteousness is good because he is a God who finishes what he starts. And he does this because he is a God with a plan who keeps his word. And his plan starts with his sovereign choice. We saw that in chapter 9. And Paul is using God's program with the nation of Israel to show us this. In chapter 9, he showed us how he elected a line of promise for the nation of Israel based on his sovereign choice. And now he's in chapter 10, into chapter 9, into chapter 10. Now he's showing Israel's rejection of God's righteousness. And now he is turning to the Gentiles. But just because God sovereignly chooses doesn't take away from our need to respond. It's a tension that we have. And it certainly doesn't take away from our need to share the good news. So this morning, I want to give you two things to remember when you go to share the good news, about sharing the gospel. Okay? You've got your notes. Number one, first is this. Fill this in. When sharing the good news, number one, don't complicate the message. Okay, we'll see that from our text this morning. Don't complicate the message. Okay, chapter 9, verse 30. Let's start there. Okay, so Paul has said, in light of Israel's rejection, that now God is turning to the Gentiles. He's calling out a people from the Gentiles. And because of that, he's forming what's called the church. Now, that's in light of Israel's rejection. Watch Paul give a reason for that rejection. Verse 30, he says this. He says, What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as a way of righteousness have not obtained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So the question is, why did Israel stumble? Why did the people stumble? They complicated the message. Paul says that the Gentiles, notice what he says, that the Gentiles who weren't even pursuing righteousness, they weren't even going after a right standing with God, they received it. How? How'd they receive it? According to Paul, it was by faith. By faith. But notice the contrast that Paul makes. He says in verses 31, 32, he says, the Jews who pursued the law as a way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. It was a works-based righteousness. They thought they could receive God's righteousness through works. It wasn't based on faith. Faith placed in, notice what the text says there in verse 33, in him, the stumbling stone, the Messiah, Jesus, that God had sent them. They stumbled over him. You know, have you ever met someone who believes in God? You know, these Jews did. They had a heart for God. But you might have some people that believe in God. They believe He exists, yet they don't see the need to believe in Jesus. The stumbling stone that the nation of Israel stumbled over. They don't see a need for Jesus. Yeah, I believe there's a God and all that stuff, but this Jesus, are you telling me He actually rose from the dead? They crucified Him? I mean, dude, there's no way. There's no way that's even possible. There's got to be another way to God, because that can't happen. You know, you might have people in your relational worlds that have a heart for God, yet they don't see it through Jesus. They don't exercise faith in Jesus. And you know what? We have those people in our worlds, and our heart goes out to them because we want to see them have a relationship with God. You know, if that's you, you're not alone. Because Paul knows, watch this, you'll see it as he explains their rejection a little bit further. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Okay, my heart's prayer, my desire. He's got a heart for his people, right? Verse 2. He says, I'm flipping too many pages. "For I testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Did you catch what Paul said about these unbelieving Jews? He says this. He says, they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. You know, I have it in your notes there. That word zealous, it means to have an intense positive interest in something. Okay? An intense positive interest in something. These Jews, they are zealous for God. They have an intense positive interest for God. You know, as a kid, I love going fishing. I just love fishing. You know, I would get out of bed at old dark 30, and I'd sneak into the family room, and I'd turn on Jimmy Houston Outdoors, and he'd teach me how to fish, and he'd, you know, sell the latest, greatest lures, and I'd be a sucker and want to buy them. All that. But I had an intense passion for fishing. Love to do it. Well, that's just like these Jews. Paul's saying these Jews, they have an intense passion for God. But he's saying this, they've got the passion, but according to Paul, their level of passion doesn't equal their level of knowledge. You know, you might know people that say, "Oh, I pursue God every day. I'm all about God. I just try to do the right thing." Hopefully he's good with that. You know, it's just kind of like the Jews. They're trying to keep the law. They're trying to grab righteousness by doing good deeds. Folks, it's just way too complex. It's muddying up the message. Keeping the law did not make one righteous. What does Paul say? It's not about doing a bunch of good things and a bunch of good deeds. He says it's by simple faith. Simple faith. Faith that is simple and faith that has been made accessible, that God has brought it down to us. Okay? You'll see this develop as we keep moving. Paul's going to contrast this righteousness by law versus righteousness by faith. Look at verse 5. Hang with me on this. Let me read it through you, and then we'll explain it. Verse 5, he says this, "Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." We'll explain that. Hang with me. Verse 8. "But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Folks, God has made the message about righteousness by faith. He's made it accessible. You don't have to go up into heaven to bring Christ down, the message down. You don't have to do it. God brought him down. We call it the incarnation. He took on flesh. He dwelt among us. Right? God brought it down. You don't have to go into the abyss. Because guess what? What did we celebrate last Sunday? Resurrection Sunday. God has brought him up from the dead. You don't have to go and do that. God has brought the word. He has brought the gospel. He has brought the message near you. It's accessible. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. He's saying it's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And here's how close it is. According to verse 9, he says this. If you confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. It's that simple. You don't have to muddy it up and complicate it. Fill this in your notes. If salvation is by faith alone, which that's what we are professing, if salvation is by faith alone, we should share it as a gift to receive, not something to earn. If salvation is by faith alone, we should share it as a gift to receive, not something to earn. See, Israel's mistake was not a lack of effort. They had the effort. Man, they got the law. They had 613 commandments, and they added to that. I mean, they didn't lack effort, folks. The problem was they were trusting the wrong thing. And today, we can unintentionally pass on that confusion when we add requirements that God never added. When we emphasize, for example, when we emphasize behavior before belief, you know, in other words, you know, before you come to church, you got to clean up, man. Your mouth, it's filthy. Before you put faith in Christ, you got to clean that up. And I notice those tats on you. Oh, they're so ugly. You got to clean those up. Can't have tattoos. That's terrible. You know, you have to act a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You can add all these requirements and you can complicate the message when in reality the message is what? It is simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, I remember the old Billy Graham crusades. What was it? George Beverly Shea would sing "Just as I Am" when they do the altar call. In other words, it don't matter your background, it don't matter anything. You come to Jesus and let Jesus clean you up. But you come to Jesus first. It's just simple faith and trust. We don't want to complicate that message. When it comes to giving directions, I think I am the absolute worst at giving directions. For example, if I tell you to get over the Old Navy, just right over here, I will probably give you street names that are wrong. I'll say turn left and turn right, and it's just right over there. I will give you these complex directions that are just completely baffling. When in reality, I probably could say, "Oh, it's over by the Target." Oh, is it that? Every time I get here, I get so confused. Anyway, I'm telling you, I'm the worst at directions. But the point is, folks, I could probably tell you, hey, it's over by Target. And you probably understand the message, right? It's simple. Don't make it complex. People get lost when you make it complex. You know, you don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus and he'll clean you up. It's all about faith in Jesus. So number one, don't overcomplicate the message. Second thing to remember when sharing the good news is this. Number two, don't be discouraged when the message is rejected. Don't be discouraged when the message is rejected. Man, I got to remember that way. I'm telling you, I'm so bad. Okay, don't be discouraged when the message is rejected. Okay, look at verse 14. Verse 14. Okay, so Paul just said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, everybody, anyone, no matter who you are, whoever, you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved, right? Well, how's that going to happen if they don't know about him? Verse 14, he says, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay, notice the chain of questions, right? There's a chain here. Notice what they teach, okay? They can only call upon Christ if they have already believed on him. And they can only believe on him if they've heard him. And they can only hear him if someone preaches the message. The message can only be preached if God sends somebody to preach it. So how do my unsaved friends in my relational worlds, how do my unsaved friends hear the gospel? God sends me to preach the message. We preach the good news. It's in your notes. It's the word caruso, which means to make public declarations or to proclaim aloud. That's what caruso. We translate it preach. We preach, right? You're making a public declaration. You're proclaiming aloud. It's open. It's clear. It's vocal. You know, it's kind of like your older sibling when they come out in the family room and say, nobody eat the leftovers in my fridge. They're passionate about their food, about their leftovers, right? But it's open. It's clear. There's some passion behind it. And it's a declaration. That's the idea. God's people are passionate about sharing the good news, and God sends their beautiful feet to proclaim it. But the key ingredient in all these questions that are being asked by Paul, the key ingredient is faith. There has to be a response. Okay? Watch Paul develop this further. Now, he has in mind the response of the Jews. Right, but it has application for us today. Look at verse 16. He says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Right? The message was proclaimed to the Jews, but not all of them responded in faith. Notice, God sends the people. People hear the message. Yet not all respond. You know, that just means if that's the case, then, you know, rejection is not a failure. It's actually to be expected. You know, you might have some people that you've shared the good news with. You know, people in your worlds. And it might have been met with rejection. Folks, listen, that's just how it is. And God knows. He knows rejection will happen. You know, well, maybe there's a good reason why Israel rejected the gospel. Look at verse 18. He says, but I asked, did they not hear? Well, of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. That's a quotation out of Psalm 19, which speaks to general revelation. God has revealed himself in creation and nature and all that. But Paul will take that psalm and he applies it to specific revelation, which is the gospel, which we preach. So the question, did Israel not hear it? Yeah, they did. The message went out. Well, maybe they didn't understand God's plan then. Maybe they muddied that up. Look at verse 19. Again, I asked, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. You know, because Israel is so stubborn, God would turn to the Gentiles, notice why, in order to make the nation of Israel jealous. So God opened the door of the church to the Gentiles who were not even part of the nation of Israel to make them jealous. It is part of God's plan all along. In fact, Paul will use Moses' words in Deuteronomy 31:26 to show that. God has always purposed to offer righteousness to the Gentiles. It was always part of his plan. Well, maybe they just didn't understand. In fact, he says in verse 20, he says in Isaiah, boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. You know, God chose to reveal himself to the Gentiles. That's us, who weren't even pursuing a right standing with God. You know, but you know what? God is still patient with his people. Because in verse 21, he says this, but concerning Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. Folks, don't miss the point. The point is that not all will receive the gospel by faith. It's just a fact. Some will reject, just like those in the nation of Israel. Just a fact, Jack. Folks, write this down. Success isn't measured by response, but by faithfulness to share. Okay? Your success is not measured by response, but by faithfulness to share. You know, have you ever had to send invitations out for an event? You know, maybe for a birthday party or a wedding or maybe a graduation. You know, you send those invitations out, but that doesn't mean that everyone's going to attend, right? And even if you know that some might not make it, you still send those invitations out anyway, right? We do that all the time. The point is, be faithful with what God has called you to do. You know, you spread the seed. And some of that seed might fall on hard and penetrable soil. Some might fall on rocky soil. Some might fall on thorny soil. Some might fall on good soil. You just throw the seeds out. You throw it out. You scatter it out. And you just leave the results up to God. So success is not measured by response. It's measured by your faithfulness to spread the seed. Are you doing it? You know, some of you might have friends, co-workers, family members you're sharing Christ with, and they don't want nothing to do with it. Just stubborn as an ox. Folks, don't get discouraged when rejection happens. God knows. He's a sovereign God who calls, and he uses us to bring people to him. We are just his tools. We are just his messengers. Spreading the good news. Spreading the seeds. So all we do, we look for opportunities to share. Always being ready to share. And you know, God knows rejection. He knows it. In fact, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people. He knows that he's a patient God. And if God continues reaching out despite rejection, then so should we. We should too. So remember, don't complicate the message. It's all about faith in Jesus. Don't add to it. And don't get discouraged when rejection comes. So in light of that, number three, share God's simple offer of salvation. That is our directive, is to share God's simple offer of salvation. You know, I think sometimes we can get so caught up in our everyday routines, you know, just the busyness of life, that we actually can lose that concern for the lost. We can get so satisfied with coming to church on Sunday that we forget about the Great Commission on Monday. Jesus said what? Go. Go, make disciples of all nations. Folks, that's action on our part. You know, I just recently heard someone say, some people think that's the great suggestion. It's not. It's the Great Commission. He calls us to go. Now, that might look like you sharing and living out your faith to your family members, your workers, your close friends. You know, you can maybe make your way to have a meaningful conversation with them. You look for those opportunities, you know, they're sharing something with you that they're dealing with in their life. You know what sharing the good news might be? Can I pray for you? Well, I've never had anybody ask me that before. You know, you just start with something simple like that. Can I pray for you? That might open the door to get to a meaningful conversation with them. You know, my wife, you know, whenever, you know, she's going through a problem or we're going through a problem or whatever it is, and she's sharing with somebody, you know what phrase she uses all the time? Oh, but I know God's in control. Something very simple like that. Speaking to someone and not church going person or an unbeliever, they just might go, oh. That might spark a meaningful conversation, and maybe eventually you can invite them to church. You know, the point is, folks, we need to be active, looking for ways to share. Listen, there are people in your relational worlds that are lost, and they need Jesus. There is a lost world out there. And most people are so caught up in this world, folks, that they don't even know it. And that might be some people in your worlds. You know, they're like the little boy at Disneyland who was enjoying the rides. He was enjoying the spinning teacups with the Mad Hatter and sailing through the sky with Peter Pan. He was having such a good time that in the midst of the crowd, he got separated from his parents. However, being separated from his parents didn't faze him. In fact, he didn't know he was lost because he was having so much fun on the rides. Folks, that's what the enemy wants. Satan has so constructed this world order to give you enough distractions so that you don't even know you've gotten lost in your spiritual Disneyland. We've got a world full of people who don't even know that the fun in this world and all that it's offering them. You know, the movies, the parties, the clubs, the social relationships, the money, the job. It's all satanic camouflage to keep them from realizing that they have been separated from God. And people can spend so much time having fun that they don't even know that they're lost. That is why God sends his messengers. That's why he sends you. That's why he sends me. That's why God actually moves lost people into your relational world. Maybe at your job. Maybe family member. He supernaturally and he strategically places them in your world so that you can be his messenger. You know, lucky for this little boy, his parents were looking for him. You see, they knew he was lost at Disneyland. So they went to a security guard and told him that they couldn't find their child. And that security man led the parents to that lost child who didn't even know he was lost. Folks, God wants to find lost people. And we are the security guards to bring lost people into contact with the God who wants to regain fellowship with them. That is our task. In evangelism, we are the ones God has chosen to deliver his message, and we are to proclaim the good news to those who are lost. So remember, don't complicate the message. Receiving God's righteousness is not about something people need to accomplish. It's not based on our merit. It's not even based on rules to follow or things to avoid. It is about simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you go out and you share that message, don't be shocked at rejection. Don't let it discourage you. You just stay faithful. You spread the seed. And you leave the results up to God. God knows what he's doing. He's got a plan. And he calls us to be a part of it. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your plan of salvation and what you are doing, Lord. We know it's a world of lost people. And some of us, we have those lost people, even just within our families, you know, jobs, whatever circles of context we have, Lord, we have them. But Lord, you have placed us in their worlds and you have placed them into our worlds for a reason. And that is to share the good news of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that is now made accessible, Lord, because you have sent your Son. Born in a manger, incarnated, God in flesh, living 33 years of life and ministry, dying on a cross and being resurrected from the dead. You have brought him down, then you have brought him up, and you have made the gospel accessible to us. Lord, help us to be faithful in spreading that good news, especially to a world that is completely lost. Because, Lord, you love those people, for God so loved the world. And you call us to be part of your program to bring them to you, Lord. We thank you for that privilege, Lord, and that honor. We pray all this in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Amen.